starting a brand new series. We have been eagerly anticipating this series for probably over a year now. We've been meeting together spiritual leadership team, chatting about this probably for well over a year. And so tonight is part one, but I kind of have to say that Zach did part one last week. So we're giving him the prologue or the preface of the book. He spoke last week on the topic of encountering God. Encountering God. And if you didn't have a chance to hear it yet, I'd encourage you to listen or watch it on our YouTube channel. Talked about Moses and how Moses saw the burning bush and was drawn from the wilderness to an encounter with God. And that is a picture of each of us, him drawing on us. And it wasn't just last week. He's drawing on our hearts again tonight. No matter where you find yourself, it is him who is drawing us towards him all the time. And so tonight is the introduction to this series. It will go as long as it needs to go, and we will see where that takes us. But this series did come about as a result of some conversations that we had about a year ago with our spiritual leadership team, and then kind of questions that have come up since then in some of our meetings. And we would be asking questions like this: where are we as a church when it comes to our understanding of the Holy Spirit and in our relationship with him? Where are we at with that? If we have to kind of gauge, we wondered. And then we asked the question a little bit more personal: where are we as individuals with our relationship with the Holy Spirit, with our understanding of Holy Spirit? And we began to just dig into his word, and the series was born out of that. And so there'll be a number of different speakers from our group chatting about that. Myself and Brian Bunting are a tag team tonight. We have Zach coming up and Gary and others in the weeks to come. And so tonight, my job is just to get us started. And so I thought about this topic and why I haven't spoken on it much as far as a direct series or direct topic is, it can be a little bit of a challenge. To be honest, it can be a challenge because people already have views, beliefs, experiences, understandings, doctrines of who or what Holy Spirit is. They already have that in their mind or in their past. And in a polarizing culture that we live in, it's really easy to disagree on things. And then once you disagree on things, it's really easy to separate and find yourself at odds over topics like this. It's one of the reasons we have different denominations in Christianity. Some denominations were formed specifically over their views of Holy Spirit. And so avoidance would seem like the safe bet, the wise bet. You know, let's not rock the boat. But then we have to ask this question: what spiritual growth do we miss out on if we don't talk about Holy Spirit? What discipleship is lacking if we don't speak about our relationship with Holy Spirit and wade into what may or may not be a challenging subject? The series isn't really meant to declare Kingsway's belief or Kingsway's doctrine on the Holy Spirit. That's not what the series is about. If you're like, okay, finally, these fellas have figured out the truth. They're going to tell us. They're going to solve the problems. There will be no more, you know, all the denominations will rejoin after these guys have figured it out. That's not what's happening. You know, tonight you don't have to worry. You know, the questions aren't going to be asked at the end on the screen: are you a Pentecostal or a cessationist? And next week, sit on the appropriate side so we know who we're speaking to, right? That's not going to be up there. The challenge of this series is simply to stir our hearts, stir our minds to what he desires to do in each of us. What does Holy Spirit desire to do in my heart and my life? May my heart, may my mind be stirred and challenged to that. Another challenge about teaching about something like this, a topic this large, this in-depth, is that we have to speak about it without understanding it fully, and there's nothing scarier than that. You know, there's often two responses to things we don't understand: fear or curiosity. It's in nature. You know, I thinking about this as this week, I thought about the moth to the flame as it had a campfire and watched a moth fly straight in, and that was it. That was his last decision in his life. You know, it was so curious, cost him everything. And then we have bees, and the opposite is true. You know, you go into a beehive, and the first thing they tell you to do is put some smoke in the beehive. There's no fire. It's just smoke, but the bees, at the hint that there might be fire, they go and they're like, we'll take all the honey we can get and we're booking it. We're ready to move. We're ready to leave this place. You know, we find that with Moses in spiritual terms as well. In the wilderness, when he sees the fire, the bush burning, he looks at his thought is, I'm curious. I'd like to figure out a little bit what's going on here. I want to know more. And he goes towards it and God meets him there. And the very people of Israel that God was desiring to meet and to reach, they also come to a place where they see fire on a mountain. And their response is, we want nothing to do with this. Moses, you talk to us. Don't let God talk to us or we're going to die. And their fear, you can find both those stories in Exodus 3 and Deuteronomy 5 if you'd like to look them up later. And we still see it today. We still see it today. You know, there's, you know, we have that fear response where people are like, Holy Spirit, oh man, I don't want any weird stuff happening to me. You know, I'm not becoming Pentecostal. I don't care how hard you try. Like, I don't even know if I'm coming. Tell me when the series is over, then I will turn. Fear-based. Then there's curiosity. You know, Holy Spirit, I don't think I know that much about him, but I'd like to know more. I'll listen in. I'll lean in a little closer. And just to be honest, you know, you don't have to raise your hands for this, but which one are you more like? If you had to ask yourself, yeah, which one am I really more like? Do I desire to know more about him? Or am I like, oh, I feel like there's this intimidation or this fear or trepidation. And so in spite of those challenges and others, you know, tonight we just decided we would want to speak about this topic so that simply that our desire is that we would become more aware of Holy Spirit as a church, as a gathering, as individuals. And so where we wanted to start is where is in his word. We desire to stay grounded in his word through this whole series, not basing it on experience, but on what does scripture teach us, and may he lead and guide us. So the truth is we need Holy Spirit to lead us into his truth, and we'd encourage you the same thing. Rely on him in this. I'd like in this series to explain, you know, ice fishing to someone who lives in the Amazon. You know, if you got this fella here and you're trying to explain to him what ice fishing is, it's like, well, you know what fishing is. You've tossed the net in the river. You know what fishing is. Now picture it's really, you know, you're able to walk on the water. And then, well, you know what a hut is. So just picture walking on the water to a hut and drilling a hole and fishing. And he's like, what do you mean walking on water? How do you walk on water? Well, it's because it's so cold. Well, you don't know what cold is either. Okay, well, ice cream. Have you had ice? You haven't had ice cream. Okay, picture goat milk on a stick. Okay, I don't know how to explain this to you. It's like it's a whole nother world. And tonight I would say the very same thing. As we look at Holy Spirit, it can sometimes feel like this is a whole nother world, a whole nother realm. And the truth is, it is. There is a spiritual realm that is very, very different, yet very real, even more real than what we see and know today. And so as we describe it, this existence of the spiritual world, it may feel a little bit like that, like, ah, I'm not getting it with my capacities of my physical, mental brain. It would also feel like trying to explain brain surgery to a third grader. Not saying you guys are third graders. I feel like this is like what Scripture's trying to do for all of us. It's like, how do we explain brain surgery to a third grader? Even though we know, you know, in grade 3 what a brain is, understanding how it all works is beyond the scope of our understanding. You know, we're going to, you know, they might say to you, hey, we're going to separate the occipital lobe and the cerebellum to get to the cerebellar cortex, taking great care not to disturb the thalamus or the lateral ventricles. And I just looked all those things up. I have no idea what those are. Some of you might. Most of us probably don't. And we're like, okay, I feel like it's beyond my scope. And to be truthful, fully understanding Holy Spirit is beyond the scope of our understanding. To fully understand him is beyond the range or the scope that we have in our human capacities. And yet, God doesn't just realize and go, they're never going to get it. Let's just forget about it. His word takes that step to say, let me take them from what they do know to what they don't know. I don't know if you had a chance to see the movie Inside Out. Inside Out did a great job of explaining how the brain works. You know, if you watch the movie, you see all these things in the background of how a brain works. And all these different emotions and all the different things. And as we're watching it, it's all of a sudden like, oh, well, so that's how my teenage daughter's brain works. Now I know what's going on. Not fully, but a little bit. A little bit. And Scripture desires to do the same thing for us. To take us with things that we do understand, to help explain the things that we don't understand. For instance, you will see things in here where Holy Spirit is compared to a dove or compared to fire or compared to wind, because we've seen all of those things. We've seen the effects of those things. But it doesn't mean that Holy Spirit is a dove or that Holy Spirit is a fire or that he is wind. He's much greater than all of it. And so tonight, the first point that Scripture makes about Holy Spirit is this. If you have your Bibles, go to the very first page, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Very easy to find. My mic is not working. Genesis, my mic is no longer working. Is my mic working?
No.
They say no up here. They say thumbs up back there. Was actually just to give you guys a chance to find Genesis 1:1. No? Somebody. Well, Jesus didn't use a microphone, so what?
We can hear
But we. Oh! It was turned off. Perfect! How far back do we have to go?
20 minutes.
Beauty. Chris is going to make this. If you're watching online, you missed all this amazing stuff that just happened. And Chris is the reason why. Thank you, Chris. Genesis 1, verse 1. Are we there?
Yeah.
In the beginning, in the very beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. The Scriptures get right to it from the very beginning, mentioning that there is a Holy Spirit. From the very get-go, God, in the very beginning, Holy Spirit was there. And the word for spirit in that place is the word ruach. It's a fun word to say. You want to try it? Say ruach.
Ruach.
Yeah, the Dutch people, you got it, no problem. Ruach, you know. So Blue Letter Bible shows us the definition of ruach and how it's used in Scripture. And you just look at all of these different things. It's like, this word means so many different things and how it's used. It's like, man, it's like wind, it's like breath, it's like the spirit of a person. It's like a force, but with personal attributes. It's never, in all of its descriptions, it's never shown as a depersonalized force. It's not like Star Wars, where it's like, oh, there's a force out there, may the force be with you, and we can't quite understand, it's this thing. Ruach is never described as a thing. It always is described in ways that have a personal connection to it. And we also find that Holy Spirit is there in the beginning, and we know he's also there in the end. How do we know? You can go to Revelation, go all the way to the other end of the Bible. Go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. This letter, it says, John writes this. He says this, it's his picture into the throne room of heaven. I think it's, is it Revelation chapter 4, verse 4? Let's go 1 verse 4. It says, this letter is from John to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace to you from the one who is, who always was, who still is to come. That's God the Father. From the sevenfold Spirit, the complete Spirit before his throne, and from Jesus Christ. He mentions all three. He is the faithful witness to these things, the first to rise from the dead, the ruler of all the kings of the world. All glory to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us. So John's like, here's the gospel in 2 verses. Here he uses the Greek word pneuma, which is very similar to ruach in that it has a ton of different definitions. And again, it's that spiritual part of a person that is very, very personal attributes. It's showing that the Spirit is not just some force out there. He's a person. And the Holy Spirit is there at the beginning. He's there at the end, and it also means that he must be everywhere in between, which means Holy Spirit is living and active tonight in this place, in this room, and the one calling and drawing us, each and every one of us, to encounter him, like Zach talked about last week, not only to encounter him, but to experience him, and ultimately to know him personally, not to know about him, not to know, oh yeah, there's a Holy Spirit. We want more than that. We want it to go from here to here. That we might know him. Not to simply know that I'm saved because Jesus died on a cross, but to know your Savior. And that theme, that invitation to experience him, not just, you know, do traditional Christianity, but to experience Christ, experience his Spirit, is seen throughout Scriptures. One of them is just simply this. In Psalm 34, verse 8, David says this, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. What is this taste and see? It's not like lick the air and see, oh, I tasted the Lord. It's this experience him, and you will discover that he is good. And so my final thought tonight is this. It's like a cooking show. You know, when you watch a cooking show, it doesn't satisfy. You don't get at dinner time and say, you know what, let's sit down, honey, watch this cooking show, and at the end of the show, you feel full. It's the opposite, right? You feel like, man, I want what that guy's got. I want more of that. I want to taste what I can see and what I've just heard about. And maybe that's how you feel about Christianity. Maybe you sit in these chairs and you go, like, there's got to be more to this than just listening to Mark, Zach, and Gary talk and then go home. Amen, Zach, eh? Yes, there is much more. There is much more to Christianity than that. And that's what the series is all about, to whet your appetite. That there be that thought of, yes, as I learn about Holy Spirit, man, I want him more. I want to know more about him. I want to know him more. And here's the coolest part of it all. That's exactly what he wants as well. That's exactly what he wants. And you say, how do we know that? The reason we know that is because it's exactly what Jesus taught. And for more on that, please welcome Brian Bunting.
Okay, well, it's a privilege to be able here to... Oh, I got talking? Is that better? Oh, thank you. Keep it close. Okay, it's a blessing to be able to share with you guys about the Holy Spirit and the personal relationship you could have with the Holy Spirit. And many of you, I don't think you know who dwells in you. And I want to show you through Scripture about the Holy Spirit and how he dwells within you. Okay, here we go. Okay, so if we could turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 16. And here Jesus said something to his disciples that really shook them up. And it's recorded in, yes, John chapter 16, verse 5 through 7, and we're going to read from 12 through 15 also. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, and it says, "But now I'm going away to the one who sent me, and none of you have asked me where I'm going. Instead, you're very sad. But it is actually best for you that I go, because if I don't, the counselor will not come. If I do go away, he will come, because I will send him to you." Verse 12. "Oh, there is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it right now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not present his own ideas. He will be telling you about what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring glory to me, or he will bring me glory by revealing to you whatever he receives from me. All that the Father has is mine. And this is what I mean when I say the Spirit will reveal to you everything he receives from me." I want you to understand this. Jesus is saying to his disciples, "I need to leave, because if I don't, the counselor will not come." Another translation says, "The helper will not come." It is the Holy Spirit. He will not come. But when he comes, he will reveal all truth to you. And he won't be telling you about himself. He'll be telling you about what he hears from me. He will reveal to you the future. He will reveal to you what is upon my heart and the heart of the Father. He will reveal to you everything that the Father has is mine. And this is what I mean when I say he will reveal this to you. Okay. Let's look at the word counselor. Okay. And I'd like to turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Just turn back one page. And we're going to look at verse 15 through 18 here, or pardon me, through 17. It says, "If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor," another translation says helper, "who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world at large cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you do because he lives with you now and later will live in you. So he's telling the disciples about the Holy Spirit, yes? And the Holy Spirit, he lives with you now. At that, if you look back about four chapters, you'll realize that Jesus breathed upon his disciples and sent them out two by two into all the villages to share, to lay hands on the sick, that the sick may be healed and people will be set free from demonic oppression. But he said the Holy Spirit will be with you. The Holy Spirit was with him, with them then. Now, I want to talk about how the Holy Spirit, as Jesus said, and later will be in you. Okay? Let's look at, let's flip over a couple more, pages. And we're going to look at John chapter 20. Let's look at John chapter 20. And we're going to look at verse 19. We'll start at verse 19. John chapter 20, verse 19. That evening on the first day of the week, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing amongst them. Peace, he said to them. Peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he held out his hands for them to see and showed them his side. And they were filled with joy when they saw their Lord. I want to pause there for a sec. They were filled with joy when they saw their Lord. It says in Corinthians, no one can declare Jesus as Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Let's read on now. So they were filled with joy when they seen their Lord. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus said. He said, the Holy Spirit is with you now and later will be in you. Jesus breathed on them. Okay, and this is when the Holy Spirit came in. Now, I want to say something here. This is where Jesus appeared to the disciples. This was after he had died on the cross, was sacrificed, demonstrated his love for the Father and you and me. And then he went down into hell, set the captives free. And if you look in Genesis, it talked about Jesus crushing the seed of woman, would crush the head of Satan. And it said, it says the same Spirit, it talks about Ephesians, that the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead now dwells in you. The Holy Spirit raised Jesus Christ from the dead. So at this point, Jesus hasn't gone up to be with the Father. He was just appearing himself to the disciples. And later if you look in Acts, just a couple pages over, you don't have to turn there, but Jesus told the disciples, do not leave Jerusalem until you've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about the empowering of the Holy Spirit this time. I'm talking about just the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Okay? So I want us to look at a couple of other scriptures here. And if you could turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Again, New Living Translation, it says, when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us everything he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. This is just one more reason why we praise our glorious God. So it says, when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit. Okay? Just Just hold on to that thought. Let's turn now back a couple of pages over to Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. And because you Gentiles have become his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, and now you can call God your dear Father. Okay? So he says, because you Gentiles have become his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son, and now we can call him dear Father. Okay, the Holy Spirit. And now let's turn over to Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. And it says there, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them are not Christians at all. If you do not have the Holy Spirit living in you, you're not Christians at all. It says here, but you are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. When I seen Jesus Christ and what he did for me on the cross, I declared him as Lord. I did. And at that point, the Holy Spirit was birthed in my heart. Okay, when it looks like one more scripture, I could give you four, I could give you many others, but I'm just going to give you one more, okay? And then we're going to move on. And that is 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. The epistle of 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. I think we got it up here. Okay. It says, and God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he lives in us. Let me read that to you again. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he lives in us. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives on us. So, how many, I'm just going to ask you this question bluntly. How many of you have declared Jesus Christ as Lord of your life? I'm going to say something to you. If you have, the Holy Spirit is in your heart right now. Okay? It's birthed in your heart right now. So, therefore, now I want to know, I want you to know that through the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit dwells in your heart, and I've just shown you that. But I want to ask you, have you given the Holy Spirit that place of honor? He dwells within you. I'm going to flip over to I was going to share the scripture a little bit later, but I'm going to share it right now. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, it says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? This body of yours is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was given to you by God. Okay? Was given to you by God who lives within you and, was given to you by God. So this temple. So my question then, and I want to challenge you with this, is have you given the Holy Spirit that place of honor? Or have you ignored him? I'm saying this to you because I was at a place in my life, sure, I sought the Holy Spirit. I sought the empowering of the Holy Spirit. That's what I was after, the empowering. I love to see prophecy and all these other gifts of the Holy Spirit. But I didn't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And that was, I had to take a step back And I had to ask the Holy Spirit to forgive me because of what I was after. I was not seeking after this relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to ask just to move on, and I want to share with you one scripture, a scripture that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and that's 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. In some of your translations, it says it's in verse 14. So again, the last scripture, the last word that Paul writes to the Corinthian church, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. And it is, Mark was talking about this, grace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, and may the love of the Father, and may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Now, in the New King James translation, it says, may the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. That word, fellowship, communion, in the Greek, it is koinonia. The Greek word is koinonia. Koinonia means fellowship, companionship, communication, intimacy, sharing together, joint participation, and close mutual association. Three main categories: fellowship, partnership, and intimacy. So Paul is saying this, the last word he says to the Corinthians church is, may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Now, I want to say something to you. If you read through Acts and you read through the epistles, and keeping your glasses on, I'm just saying, putting your glasses on, you focus your eyes about the what it talks about the Holy Spirit, you'd be amazed at the relationship the apostles had with the Holy Spirit. They sought him for direction in the church and even in their own personal lives. And the Holy Spirit showed up and gave them that direction because that's the relationship they had with the Holy Spirit. And we can have, each and every one of us, can have that relationship. Now, I just want to talk to you about partnership. Or no, let's back up. Let's talk about fellowship. A lot of us, we come here, and before meetings, we have fellowship with one another. I mean, I went to a men's Bible study on Tuesday night, and we had fellowship with one another. We shared intimate things from our heart. We shared what's happening in our lives, the good and the bad, right? We had fellowship with one another. I'm thinking, what about you and your wife? Do you have fellowship with your wife? You do, or your girlfriend, whatever. You have best friends. You have fellowship with them. You talk to them. You share personal things with them. Because, why? Because you trust them. The Holy Spirit can be trusted. The Holy Spirit can be trusted. Let's talk about intimacy. That's a step deeper. Intimacy, when you have intimacy with your wife, you know, it is real close, and you share the deep things in your heart. Why? Because you have great trust in one another. Do you have that intimacy with the Holy Spirit? That is a challenge. And the last one is partnership. You know, as partners, you know, your partners in business, you know, you work together. He does one thing and you do another. But you all work together for the one goal and as accomplishing whatever that goal is. And you trust in each other. Same with husband and wife. You work together in raising up children and you trust each other in that. Or maybe buying a house, paying for a house, or be doing renovations, or talking about what you want to do in the house. You partner up because you trust each other. Do you have that relationship with the Holy Spirit that you can partner with him? If he asked you, and he wouldn't ask you something unless you couldn't do it. If he asked you to do something, would you say yes? That takes faith, believing yes, I will step out in obedience to the Holy Spirit because I trust you, Lord, because you will reveal yourself to me. And it's going to be special. It's going to be spectacular. Yes. I share with you, I came to that place where I had to ask the Holy Spirit for forgiveness. And I did. I stepped back and asked him for forgiveness. And I'm going to tell you something. I have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And I just don't have fellowship just on Sunday morning or Saturday night or even each morning as I get up. I have fellowship with the Holy Spirit all through the day. And I'll tell you, he reveals himself to me in spectacular ways. Like, I ask him for help. Like, we build homes and people move in their homes. And sometimes we have a few problems. There's always a few problems you have to sort out at the end. And I ask him to help me. And I'll tell you, he's there. And I say, wow. And the relationship I have with these people is special, too. But he opens doors. He gives me, opens doors for me to share the gospel with people. But you see, I pray and I have fellowship with him every moment of the day. And he reveals himself to me, and it is so precious. Now, I want to say something else, too. When I ask Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life, when I recognize him as Lord, do you know who revealed that to me? The Holy Spirit did. When I declared Jesus as Lord of my life, he came in, the Holy Spirit came in, and I started reading Scripture, and I'll tell you, it just comes alive. And I'm sure all of you have experienced this, haven't you? Can you raise your hand on that? We all can experience that. It's the Holy Spirit that enlightens the Word of God, and it becomes life to us. And it's like he speaks it right to our hearts, and we step out in faith and believe it, and it's become so precious. Are we missing out on the relationship, the beautiful relationship we can have? Now, there's one last thing I want to read to you, and that is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 16. And it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has for those who love him. Mm-hmm. And God has prepared for those of them. But we know these things because God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. And the Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deepest secrets. No one can know what anyone is thinking except the person alone. I mean, the person right beside you. Do you know what he's thinking? Do you know what she's thinking? No. How can you know what God is thinking, what God thinks about you? The Holy Spirit is the one that reveals it to you. Okay? He does. That's going on. Yeah, no one can know what anyone else is thinking except the person alone. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own Spirit. And God has actually given us his Spirit, not the spirit of this world, so we can know the wonderful things that God has freely given us. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals the kingdom of God to us. It is. So I encourage you to seek out that relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you something. Your life will just light up like a fire, not just a little candle, a big flame. You'll be on fire for God because your relationship with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit will be explode. It will. See, they're all excited. Huh? So... So I'm challenging you, brothers and sisters. I'm really challenging you to seek out this relationship with the Holy Spirit, and you will be blessed. Okay, and I just want to say one last thing, and it says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. May the love of the Father be with you. And may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Thank you for allowing me to share this with you.
Yeah, that excitement of just truly understanding that. I think that as we close off tonight, it's that sentence. May the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Where does that leave us today? And give us a couple things to handles for us to just grab onto this message. And where do we go from here? What do I do now? And I think it's really, really important to ask yourself this question. Brian mentioned it at one point. If a person doesn't have the Holy Spirit inside them, they are not Christians at all. That may have been the biggest wake-up call to you tonight. And if that's the case, that is his wake-up call to you, calling you to become born again, alive on the inside. Repent of sin, surrender yourself to him, and he will do what no person can do. And that is cause your spirit to come alive, to become one spirit with him. And it simply is that, like, Lord, I surrender to you. I hear your voice calling me. I surrender to you. And maybe today you are a believer, and this may be something of a different type of wake-up call of just simply asking, how aware of his presence am I? And it's definitely been that for me. You know, have I treated Holy Spirit simply as, and Christianity simply as a ticket to heaven? You know, and then kind of done my own life on my own after that. It was meant to be so much more. Is he just an afterthought that comes to mind on the weekends because someone reminds me, oh, there's the Holy Spirit? Or is he maybe a last resort when I've tried everything else on my own? Oh, okay, God, I'll pray to you now. Holy Spirit, help. Or is it something like Brian described throughout your day? It's like, oh, yeah, I'm aware of you. Yes, Lord, I know you're everywhere. You're in me. You're right here, right now. Lord, help me to be open, connected to your thoughts and not just my own. And maybe today did just that in your life, that it stirred up an appetite in you to know him better. Tonight is not going to be an altar call. Come to the front. We will do something for you. We don't have that ability. But if he stirred up that hunger in your heart tonight through this message, he has the ability to satisfy that hunger like no one else can. And he's drawing you. He's drawing you. Our prayer was that it not just changed minds, but that changed minds would lead to changed hearts and changed lives that would stir up that appetite for each of us to know him deeper. And not searching for places to find him. Like, oh, Holy Spirit's in Toronto this weekend, or he's at Kingsway. Well, no, he's moved somewhere else. We're going to try and find him somewhere. To just realize that in all the places you are, he's already there. Would you meet him there? Would you meet him there? What do I do? Number one, I'd say come back next week and listen to part two of the series as we continue to talk about Holy Spirit and allow that desire to grow. And in the meantime, why not find some time just to slow down this week and simply ask Holy Spirit to reveal himself to you? It's what we've been doing. It's what Brian's been doing. So you see the effect it has in his life. And just to simply say, Lord, would you lead me in this? Man, his desire is to make it alive in our hearts. Let's give him that opportunity to do so. Father, we thank you for your word. It is it's truly life-giving when your spirit grabs hold of it and makes it alive in our hearts. Oh, Jesus, thank you for saving us. Thank you for making us alive to you. Thank you that we are one spirit with you. We can have the mind of Christ. Lord, that is our desire. Tonight too, Father, we apologize for those times where we've just ignored your very spirit at work in our heart and in our lives. I'm sure we've all been there. And so tonight, again, Lord, we just ask that you would stir up that hunger in us to know you. Lord, as we sense your drawing, that we would answer that call quickly and gladly. Lord, we trust you. We know that our trust needs to grow, and so we ask that you develop that in us. That what you ask us to do, we would simply say yes, trusting that it is for our good and for your glory. And may you be glorified. We just pray this in your name. Amen. Thank you.